The big game is today. It's the time when everyone watches the commercial and nobody cares about the game. If you're going to go to the bathroom, you don't go during a commercial, you go during a play, right? Because the commercials are supposed to be really great. You realize that the cost of a commercial is $4 million for 30 seconds. $4 million for 30 seconds. That's $133,000 a second. 166 million viewers from the United States, that's one out of every two people, will watch the Super Bowl. And worldwide, close to 1 billion, one out of eight people, they estimate, will watch this game. This game. And during this game, people will get crazy. When I think about all the people and all the cheering and all the rooting and all the fanatics and all the great stuff that's happening, it's probably the biggest worship day that we have. The biggest worship day that we have where people, fans, become fanatics, become fanatical. I have a definition of fanatic here. A person possessed, I like the word possessed here, a person possessed by an excessive and irrational, or which seems like irrational to somebody else, but to that person seems very right to do, doesn't it? A zeal, a wild enthusiasm, a person marked or motivated by an extreme, unreasoning enthusiasm for a cause, a person whose enthusiasm or zeal for something is extreme or beyond normal limits. These people's attempt to worship, if you will, or to cheer on their teams and all of that, they go beyond the limits. They go way beyond. They have this excessive enthusiasm, this excessive zeal. They're passionate, aren't they? They're passionate about what they root for and about what they do. They'll dress themselves up. They'll do crazy and what seems like to us irrational things in order to worship or root for or to cheer on their teams. Look at some of this stuff. Look at some of these people. These are fans, all right? These are fans. These are fanatics. People in zero-degree weather paint themselves up. Do amazing things. Who is that person? Look at that. Crazy folks doing crazy things because they're rooting for their teams. Look at it. He even shaves his head. Crazy stuff by fans, fanatics. If you look at it, it's 21st century worship. I mean, we're into this excessive enthusiasm, this being a fan, a fanatic for a team. And I started thinking about it. Wow, I bet God loves to have fanatics. I bet God loves to have fans that will alter their behavior in order to please Him. That will go beyond the limit. That will be excessive in their love and their worship and their devotion and their life as they live it for Jesus Christ. They go beyond the limits. My question then to you is this. Are you a fan of God? Are you on His fan club? Are you that crazy for God? Are you possessed by an excessive and wild enthusiasm for God that's extreme and beyond normal limits? Are we worshipers of God? These people love their sports team. They go to extremes to cheer them on, to worship. Do we do it for God? So I wanted to take this day and dedicate it to worshiping Him. The 10 top songs that we love here in this congregation. And then just worship. Become fanatical with God as we love Him. Now, this is interesting to me as I was reading through the Old Testament. About 3,500 years ago, God speaks to Moses from a burning bush. And He asks him to go to Pharaoh and to say these words. Let my people go. Say it with me. Let my people go. Let them go. I want them out. They've been over 400 years in Egypt. They've been in favor when they came there, but then they grew in number. They became radical in their views, and therefore, Egypt put them into slavery. For over 400 years, they're doing exactly what Pharaoh tells them to do, with severe bondage, crying out to God for a deliverer, for deliverance. And then Moses, God comes to him and says, you're going to be that deliverer. I've been listening for 400 years, their cry, and I'm going to have you deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, I think about a deliverer. What is a deliverer? What does it mean to deliver something? If you're a postman, you're going to deliver a package, you take it from someplace, and then you relocate it to someplace else, right? Now, you're going to take something from where it is and take it to another location. Now, if you are a mother and you want to be delivered, Catania, stand up for a second. My daughter, stand sideways. My daughter, you can sit down. My daughter wants to be delivered. What, today she wants to be delivered. She wants the baby at halftime. Delivered. That baby also wants to be delivered. Be delivered. And you know what? She will be very happy when she is delivered. There's something happens in a mom when you go from this to this. And then when they start crying, you give them to the husband and they take care of them for the next month, and it's absolutely wonderful because that's what Tommy always does for Catania. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah. You go from one state of being to another state of being. And as I was reading through Exodus, thinking of the Exodus, the exit, the get out, go from one location to another, I was taken by God's instructions, and I'm going to read Exodus 7:15-16. It says this. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the water. Wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him. Now remember, he's going to be on the bank of the Nile. And you got to remember that Pharaoh was considered a god. As a matter of fact, he was what they considered the son of Re, the sun god. They considered him to be the son of the sun god. And therefore, he ruled Egypt as a god, and he was to be worshipped. And he's out at the Nile River, the Nile which was the source of life for Egypt, and he would go there every day. If you look through that passage, many times when Moses comes and talks to Pharaoh, he's going to the Nile. He's waiting for him at the Nile because he would go and bathe as a ritual, as this god, to cleanse himself so he could rule the nation. A son of God is who he considered himself to be. He says, go to Pharaoh and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, say it with me, let my people go. Why did he want them to go? I think it's an important part. So that they may worship me. That they may worship me. He wanted the children of Israel to be delivered from the bondages of Egypt, or the type and shadow of the world, so that they could worship God. In the King James, that word is serve, the word abad, but it means to be a servant, to serve and all that, but also one of the forms is to be a worshiper. To be a worshiper. And the NIV translates it, worship me. God's purpose in delivering Israel out of Egypt was one reason. Come and worship me, the one, the only, the true God. Amen. The true God. And he says it six times. He goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go that we may go and worship God. Six times he asks him. The other times God just does plagues in there. And six times he says, no, 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 no. No, you're not going. You're not going. I'm not leaving. I'm not letting you go. And 9 times the Lord brings plague after plague after plague after plague after plague after plague after plague. And as God deals with each of these items in the plague, he confronts a God that Egypt worshipped. The first plague, the Nile. The Nile River, they worshipped him. They worshipped it. And God attacks, if you will, their God, the Nile River. And he moves down upon plague after plague after plague. They go to frogs next. They considered a frog a god. Can you imagine being the frog god? I mean, who would want to worship a frog? Really? I mean, gnats and lice and flies and livestock and boils and thunder and hail. They considered that Pharaoh was in charge of all of the wonders of nature as well. And so God blasts hail and thunder upon them. And then locusts. And after the locusts, after the 8th plague, all of these plagues happening, Pharaoh's officials finally get an idea. They kind of catch a clue. Pharaoh's officials, 10:7 says this, said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go!" His officials are saying, let him go. Why? That they may worship their Lord, their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is, say it with me, ruined. Egypt is ruined. You know, there's the parallel that Egypt is a type of the world. The bondage that they were in, a type of sin that we're in as bondage. And he says this to them, let them go. Let them out of the bondage. Let them go. Because Egypt is ruined. Do you realize, for those who are worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Egypt really is ruined? This world really is ruined? It's a fallen world. It's a broken world. It's got flaws, and it's got problems, and it's got issues. And the world tries to trump up, here's how we're going to solve all these, and all these ideas, and all the things that you can do, and the pleasures that you can have, and it will satisfy your life. But Egypt is ruined. It's ruined. Because our true satisfaction will never be found in this world. It will be found in the one that's to come. It'll be found in our God as we worship him. Egypt's ruined. Let them go. Let them be delivered from one state to another state. As a Christian, we've been delivered from our sin and our bondage from that state. We've been delivered and set free that we might enjoy a new world that has the true God in it, that will bring joy and satisfaction and life and love. An enjoyment to us. We've been delivered. Delivered for what? Delivered to worship God. We as Christians have been delivered so that we might worship our God and give him the glory that's due his name. All the officials that were serving Pharaoh encouraged him to do it, but Pharaoh said no. The next plague comes, the plague of darkness. For 3 days it's dark. Not a simple eclipse. It could have been dark for a little while in the daytime and then opened back up again, but it was 3 days dark. Kind of like when Mount St. Helens blew. Remember that? It was dark in the middle of the day. Some of you remember that. People are going, I wasn't even born. Mount St. Helens has always been that tall to me. Dark for 3 days. Again, God confronting the God of nature for them. Pharaoh, who could control it all. No. No, he couldn't. He couldn't. Pharaoh finally gets the picture after the third one. His firstborn is killed. And then he says this, I thought it interesting, in Exodus 12:31, he knew. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. And look what he says to them. He knows exactly what they want to do. Go worship the Lord as you have requested. Go worship the Lord. Go worship the Lord. And that's our responsibility as Christians, to worship, to worship, to worship our Lord. You know that it is God's purpose for you to be delivered from your sins so that you can worship Him. 2,000 scriptures in the Bible talk about worship. Revelation 22:9, one of the very last scriptures in the Bible, says simply this: worship God. Worship God. Very last words to us, some of the very last words: worship God. Do we? Worship means this. It's a Greek word, proskuneo. It means, I love this, worship God. It means to kiss. The Bible says, kiss the Son lest He be angry with you. Kiss Him. Lord, You're awesome. And we see people blowing kisses to their loved ones. Is Jesus Christ, is the Lord God Almighty, our loved one? Do we love Him? It means to, like a dog licking his master's hand. Like a dog licking his master's hand. Now, we have a new dog in our family. Actually, it's been a year now, I guess almost. And our dog's name is Malibu, after the car. Never mind. But I have to say that I get up in the morning, let the dogs out, feed them, give them some water. And then they come to me after that's all done. And Malibu, and I have to say, she says, I never say nothing nice about the dog. I'm going to say some nice things about the dog. Okay? The dog comes with those little puppy eyes. They're pretty little eyes, actually. They're kind of like sad, like happy, sad, like, hi, I'm yours. And he'll always come to me. I'm sitting down there, and he'll come. She comes. It comes, I should say. And it will start licking me. I try to say no lick, and then I realize I just let her lick. And I have to tell you, it's kind of interesting. And I know this sounds funny, and it's like the dog is sitting there. I'm sitting down, the dog is there, and the dog is like licking me, and these big brown beautiful eyes looking at me, and literally, I can almost hear the dog say these words to me, looking at me. Going, you complete me. And I don't know what to do with that. That's what she's saying. She's licking me. I started thinking about it. Do we do that to the Lord? Do we realize, as we look to the Lord with our puppy eyes, not knowing what life really brings us, scared, worried, all sorts of things that happen, but yet we look to our Master, licking, saying, you complete me. You complete me. And you know that's true. God completes us. Without Him in our lives, we are empty and void of something so deep, so rich, so eternal, that without Him, this life is only a blip and it's meaningless. But with Him, it is so meaningful. The word goes on to, this word worship means to prostrate oneself, to bend the knee. Are we willing to bend the knee, to bend our jobs, to bend our lives, to bend our attitudes, to bend our responses, to bend what we do to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in such a way that says, you know what, it's not my job that completes me. It's not fun that completes me. It's not these things that complete me. You complete me. And because you complete me, my heart, my desire, my life is to worship you with everything that I do. With everything that I do, worship you. Worship you. We've been talking about our theme for 2013. Do your work in me, Lord. Do your work in me in 21:3. I think one of the things God wants to do deeper inside of our hearts is allow there to be a bigger spot for worship, where we worship Him with song, with excitement, with dance, jumping around, excited, like we're a fan, like we're a fanatic for Him, going way beyond the limit, way beyond the norm, because we have excessive and exuberant enthusiasm for our God and our Savior. But not just in we're here worshiping, but it's also as we go to our job and out there and everything that we do, that our life becomes an act of worship, that every day we are willing to bend our knee to our Lord and Savior and Master and say, you complete me. No, not another car, not a boat, none of this, none of that. All those are great things, but they don't complete me. What completes me? Not even my job. What completes me is you, God. And for that, I want to worship, 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 worship you. Could you stand with me as we finish these last three top songs on worship? And my heart would be this. Be a fan. Come on forward. Hey, everybody was forward. Come on back to where you were. Come on, come on, come on and back up here. If you've never been forward, why don't you try it? Try it once. Try something different. Try something you've never done before. Get out of your comfort zone. Say, hey, you complete me. Not, I'm going to stay from the safety of where I want to be. The thing about serving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is He will push you out of your comfort zone to places where you just acknowledge, I just need you, Lord. I need you. I need your help. I need your encouragement. I need you in my life. And He loves it when you're there, dependent upon Him. So in these last three songs, last three numbers, let's worship God with everything that we've got. Let Him know that He is absolutely number one in our lives, and we will cherish Him from now all the days of our lives as we worship Him. Let's do it, church.